This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Biden, more of you being the enemy of the state. We have COVID revisionist history. We're going to lead with that. There's a lot of that tonight. We have much fun to have on I'm Right. You know, there's an old saying, and I'm actually stealing this saying from JFK, who I think stole it from somebody else. But the old saying is this: victory has 1,000 fathers, but defeat is an orphan. And it's so true when you sit and think about it. Whenever something was a rousing success, everyone was part of it, right? Everyone likes to claim they were part of it. You ever talk to somebody in your life, or maybe you were this person who was involved in any way with a winning political campaign? Could be school board, Congress, Senate. Maybe you're part of Trump's campaign or know someone who was. Whatever your role was, and I'm not discounting your role, but you could have been the special assistant in charge of handing out bumper stickers in some rural county in Wyoming where you handed out 20 stickers on Trump's behalf. You know what you'll tell people to the day you die? I was part of Trump's 2016 campaign. We got him in there, baby. Good work. Go team. It was all of us, right? But then the losses, no one takes responsibility for that. Very frustrating. It's part of human nature. Were you part of Romney's campaign? Did you do anything on behalf of Mitt Romney? It's okay. You don't have to tell anyone. But I bet you haven't told anyone, have you? Hey, you know, I knocked on doors for Mitt. No, you didn't. Mitt Romney lost and he's a loser. You don't want to be associated with that. And there's something going on right now that is driving me crazy as it relates to COVID in this country. Drives me insane. I'm not doing the thing now where I was right all along from day one. I'm not doing that. All right, there's not time for that. I'm not doing that. But I am going to do this. All the worst people who spent the last 2 years abusing you, they're all going to begin now to shift and act like they weren't. And I know you know everything I'm about to say right now, so I'm not insulting your intelligence. I'm more bringing it up for my sake than I am for yours. You do remember that we had, in many places, full-blown tyranny, a tyrannical government installed in the United States of America. You remember this, right? You remember that they arrested a pastor for having church. You remember, we've showed you the video before, you remember they found a guy paddleboarding in the ocean by himself, and because of COVID, they sent the police boats out, I'm not making this up, you can go look it up, to round him up and frog march him in handcuffs off the streets. Do you remember they arrested business owners, including in my state of Texas, for opening their businesses? We had medical tyranny like I've never seen before. Put the mask on your face. You're not welcome here. City of New York. Oh, you want to come in? You want to sit down, have a cheeseburger? Show me your vaccine app. Is it up to date? Oh, nope. Yours isn't up to date. Sorry, lesser citizen. There are other restaurants for you. We brought back segregation because of coronavirus. And it was all for nothing. It accomplished nothing except to destroy really the entire planet. This goes way beyond the United States of America. The coming economic disaster is a direct result of insane COVID protocols that did nothing. Do you remember one-way grocery store aisles? Maybe you've forgotten. Maybe you've got so much PTSD you've blocked it out of your head. But people in charge actually made one-way grocery aisles as if that was a solution to anything. We brought back insanity and tyranny into this country. They crushed you, crushed your mental health, crushed your economy, totally took over every aspect of your life, which they had no authority to take over. And now they're all going to act like they didn't. And I haven't even brought up the money aspect of it. Do I have to bring up Operation Warp Speed? This wasn't even Democrats. Do I have to bring it up? Operation Warp Speed? We allow this panic to gin up, and then we say the words that have doomed so many in the history of mankind. What are those words? Somebody do something! Somebody do something! No words in the history of mankind have damaged us more than those words. And oh, we did something. Oh, hey, pharmaceutical companies, you've been poisoning us for years. Hey, here's a boatload of taxpayer money. Here, take it. And make us a vaccine. Oh, don't worry if you have to rush job it. You're liability free. Just go, guys. We did it. And now they're going to act like we didn't do all those things. You know that Joe Biden, you know, with all we know now about waning efficacy of the vaccine, we know who's at risk, who's not at risk for COVID. Do you know that Joe Biden still has in place a firm vaccine mandate for the military? Why do you think that is? Have you thought about that? Why would he have that? On top of wanting to purge the military out of his political opponents, why would he have that? Well, it guarantees the government will stroke massive checks to the pharmaceutical companies every single year, which is funny because Joe's out there saying he stood up to pharma.
We beat pharma this year. We beat pharma this year, and it mattered. We're going to change people's lives.
Why does he do the voice thing? Somebody told Joe Biden somewhere along the way that elevating your voice just randomly really helps deliver the message. It doesn't work at all. Anyway, beat pharma this year. You know, actually, in a way, he did. Because I'll tell you something about companies. This happens every now and then. Let's say McDonald's. Now, this is just an example, okay? You can love McDonald's, hate McDonald's, I don't care. But let's say McDonald's. You know, sometimes companies have things on their menu they don't really want on their menu anymore because they don't bring in enough money. Like, you don't know all the behind the scenes. I don't know all the behind the scenes stuff on supply chains and where's this shipping from? What materials do we need from this? But let's say you're McDonald's and you're selling your old menu, but those chicken nuggies, the chicken nuggets, man, they're not paying the bills. We're barely breaking even on the chicken nuggets. Maybe they're chicken or whatever goo they use to make the stuff with. Maybe their chicken got too expensive or gas got too, for whatever reason, the chicken nuggets are barely covering the bills for the chicken nuggets themselves. And McDonald's would love to dump those stupid chicken nuggets off the menu, but there's a nostalgia thing in there, right? If we decide as a family it's a McDonald's night, maybe those chicken nuggets being on the menu determine whether or not I'll go. Because my son wants some chicken nuggets. If he can't have nuggets, I'll go to Wendy's. You know what I mean? But this is something that's common in companies. They have to carry things on their books. They don't want to carry on their books for various reasons. But Joe Biden, actually, he did stand up to pharma. He helped them actually shave one of the items off their books. Ivermectin. You see, Big Pharma, they love it when you run out for your 19th jab. They're making a fortune on it. Don't believe me? Go look at the stock prices. A fortune on it. You know what they don't like that much? Ivermectin. Why? It's so mass-produced and widely available, so effective. You don't keep coming back. And it's really weird about why they stood against ivermectin. I mean, you do remember when Joe Rogan talked about it, right?
It blows my mind that Joe Rogan just yesterday admitted to taking ivermectin.
Ivermectin is something more often used to deworm horses.
Rogan telling his 13 million Instagram followers that he was treated with several drugs, and he included ivermectin on the list, a drug used for livestock.
Rogan said the word ivermectin. Yes, that's the deworming medicine made to kill parasites and farm animals.
So things are clearly bad, but they're being made even worse by people who have refused to take the vaccine and instead are swallowing horse paste.
Does it bother you that the news network you work for out and out lied,
well,
just outright lied about me taking horse dewormer?
They shouldn't have said that.
Why did they do that?
I don't know.
Oh, I know. That's one of the funniest parts of that interview. Joe Rogan takes it, gets better. Then they said, I don't know why we lied. I don't know why we lied. I can't figure out why we lied. Why did Joe Biden lie? Why did the FDA lie? Remember, your own FDA lied about ivermectin, called it horse dewormer. The news media lied. Why did they all lie? Why? Why would they lie? Well, money. You see, here's what doesn't really make that much money for anybody, not big pharma. It doesn't empower the government. It doesn't do anything. What doesn't help any of those people is you working out a bit more, getting some vitamin D, and going back to your job and living your life the same way you did before COVID. And if you get sick with COVID, taking some ivermectin. By the way, it goes way beyond Joe Rogan. I know personally several doctors who prescribed this stuff and said it fixed everything. Rapid COVID recovery. We just had an article put out by The Blaze saying 92% reduction in COVID deaths. This was a study that took place in Brazil. It does work. There's no question it works. But why? Why would they try to censor it? Why would they try to ban something? Well, one, remember, we're dealing with communist devil worshipers who don't care about human life. They don't care if you die. You could pick up the phone right now if you knew his number and call Joe Biden and say, hey, Joe, the doctor, they deny my mom getting her ivermectin and she just drowned in her own lung fluid. It wouldn't move him. There's nothing left inside of these people. So that's part of it. But the other big part of it is this: money. A lot of this was simply about money. Go look at who lobbies the most, who lobbies the federal government the most. And I'll give you a second while you pick your jaw back up off the floor when you see just how much pharmaceutical companies lobby your government. The pharmaceutical companies lobby your government. The government takes that lobbying money and they do massive taxpayer-funded handouts to the pharmaceutical companies. Then they turn around and they point at you and say, take this pharmaceutical company product or you're fired. It all comes back to money, money and power. None of it is about you. None of it's about the public health or public safety. It's all back to money and power. Do you remember how much people debased and embarrassed themselves during all this COVID vaccine push madness stuff? Do you remember it? I'm talking every single part of the system itself. Every single part tried to push this on you. And I just want to say before I play maybe the most embarrassing clip, and that's saying something, of all this COVID madness, but I just want to say this. I don't care about your vaccine status. It's not my business. It's your business. Maybe you were forced to take it because of a job that you needed. Maybe you gave into the pressure. That's fine. These things happen. You'll never get judgment from me if you put that in your body, ever. But I will say this. If you didn't, if you stood strong against by far the largest propaganda campaign in the history of mankind, no question about it, if you stood strong against that, you should be proud of yourself. You should be proud that you think and you watch and you wait and you read and you listen and you see and you make your own decisions. People don't tell you what to think. Be proud of yourself if you stood strong, because this level of propaganda, sadly, is very, very effective. My word. Imagine waking up in the morning having done that skit the night before and having to look at yourself in the mirror. Anyway, and let's not discount the loss of life And let's not discount the level of deception. We now know, courtesy of Missouri AG Eric Schmidt, you see, he's been probing the White House and social media when it comes to censorship of information, specifically COVID information. Because it sure seemed like these guys were working together a lot, right? The White House would want something pushed, and all of a sudden you'd see it pushed all over Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. The White House wanted something silenced, and all of a sudden you'd see it silenced. People suspended, people censored off. They weren't able to share certain things. But here's the thing. I feel like we fall short and miss the mark when we talk about the White House working with social media companies and censoring things. I don't feel like we go quite far enough. They're censoring things. They censored it. They're censoring things. Okay, that's true. They are. But what are they censoring? What did they censor? You know what they censored? And you better wake up and accept what you're dealing with now in your country. Do you know what the federal government joined with social media companies to censor? The truth. They took all the things that were true and they worked with the social media companies so you couldn't see them. And they took all the things that were lies and they worked with the social media companies to make sure you believed them. So once more, I'll say it again. If you stood up to that propaganda campaign with that level of deception, be proud of yourself. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. We have more on them making you an enemy of the people, a great light in the mood later on in the show. We got all kinds of things coming for you tonight. Just buckle up and enjoy the ride. Before we get to those things, though, I want to first get to this. I want to first get to health. Actually, I had a talk with the wife this morning. Took the kids to the doctor. Doctor offered our sons, 12 and 13, a COVID shot. Obviously, we refused, but I'm dumb and I understand that my children are not at risk for COVID. There's no reason I should take the risk on putting that in their body, yet it was offered by my doctor. And we were talking this morning about the lack of trust we now have in our medical institutions, especially because of COVID. We've taken more ownership of our health in the Kelly household. Part of that is cleaning our air, especially because I live in Houston. The air down here is garbage. I have three Eden Pure thunderstorms constantly killing the viruses and mold in my air, cleaning the air in my home. I will visit the doctor less the rest of my life than I have the previous 41 years of my life. I'm going to make sure of it. Working out more, eating better, I have Eden Pure thunderstorms in my home. They have a three-pack for sale for my viewers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Code Jesse gets you a three-pack for $200 off. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB. In the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
That the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. And that is a threat to this country. But the extreme MAGA Republicans in Congress have chosen to go backwards, full of anger, violence, hate, and division.
We have to be stronger and more determined and more committed to saving American democracy than the MAGA Republicans and that guy Alcantara are destroying democracy.
Joining me now, Matt Booth, columnist with the Conservative Institute, and Paige Willey, director of American Firebrand. Paige, let's start with you. Okay, I understand how mean and vindictive and nasty all that was, but what I don't understand is the campaign strategy behind it. That doesn't seem like it would be a winner, is it?
That's right. Well, I think one aspect that people are missing in this discussion of where that speech came from and the rhetoric that Biden was using is that the Democrats are having a really serious problem motivating their base. And this has been a persistent problem since Biden was chosen as their presidential nominee. He is, due to his uninspiring affect, his low energy public appearances, and his sort of default strategy of do nothing, his base voters they've developed this almost envy of Trumpism, which was high energy, very motivating to the Republican base. And as a consequence, what you're seeing is this effort from Biden's advisors and other folks in their milieu to develop ways to communicate with their Democratic base. We will deliver for you. You do need to get excited about this. The specter of Trump still looms large. So here's where you get all of these sort of awkwardly focused grouped phrases like the ultra MAGA Republicans and the extreme MAGA proposals, which these are composite phrases clearly designed to beam directly into the brains of their sort of most dedicated voters who they're worried about being disaffected. They need to make this into a turnout election, because when you've got approval by independents of Joe Biden's job, by, you know, their approval is like 25%. So they can't go to the well. There's no water there. They need to make this a turnout election.
Matt, help me understand why Democrats, because I agree with Paige, they're trying to motivate their base. Their base is unmotivated. Why are they unmotivated, though? I sit back and I look at the advancements they've made across the administrative state, how they've weaponized it against their opponents. We have an U.S. military. They'll all be gay here in about 15 minutes. I see win after win after win for the communists, and yet their base is disheartened. Why?
Well, I think the thing with the left is that they have this remarkable ability to convince themselves that they are the beleaguered rebels, even though that's obviously not the case, right? As you mentioned, they've made a lot of advancements socially, progressively across the legal system. And Joe Biden has become the focus of their resentment against the right. And really, no matter how much the country changes, no matter how radically it transforms, the left is somehow they're able to convince themselves that they're still the victims. And Biden is channeling that sense of victimhood and envy and rage against the right in what is really a very cynical and egregious attempt to win an election by making it a referendum on democracy and defining anyone who is against him as an existential threat to our system of government. It's an argument that I don't think is really convincing to very many people outside of their very most dedicated partisans who, you know, are willing to join Biden in this sort of reality warping, fantasy where, you know, democracy is on the line, you know, if the Republicans would gain a majority, which is also paradoxical, because if a majority of voters vote for Republicans in November, then that would mean that a majority of Americans are fascists. So, like you said, the left is they're the perpetual victims, really.
Paige, fascists, democracy. You brought up the buzzwords they use a lot. Democracy and fascists are two that have obviously come to the forefront a lot. We're not a democracy. Everyone knows that. I'm not going to insult your intelligence by telling you that. But it is something they continue to insist on. Why the obsession with this word democracy?
Well, I suspect that democracy for them is a concept bound up in manipulating public opinion and weaponizing procedure to narrow the universe of outcomes that they will accept and that are available to voters. And the reason I say that is because you can't literally make it illegal to vote for Republicans yet, but they can advocate for things like eliminating the Electoral College, which they insist gives too much representation to rural voters and rural states. They can insist on packing the Senate by adding D.C. and Puerto Rico as states, because they anticipate permanent Democratic majorities if they are able to do that. They can even illegally change voting laws in certain states, and Americans have no recourse at the Supreme Court. So you see where I'm going with this, which is that they are using a huge number of weapons available at their disposal to narrow the universe of possibilities available to voters, and then ensure through manipulated activity that democracy has been achieved, that this is really the will of the people, when in fact it's the only choice they've left you with. And so that's where I see this headed. And It's just, the other thing is, with this rhetoric, it's designed to delegitimize any outcome that Republican voters pick. Delegitimize Trump, delegitimize anyone he endorses, delegitimize their preferences.
Matt, Joe Biden said something over the weekend about how they took on Big Pharma. It's not even the first time he's said it. We played a clip earlier. Here's another one.
I've been fighting pharma for my entire career. And we finally beat pharma.
Okay, Matt, explain that to me, especially after the now two-year-long effort for everyone in the country to kneel at the altar of Pfizer and worship these supposed gods of our society. Why the sudden campaign shift talking about beating pharma?
Yeah, this is yet another example of the Biden administration's just extraordinary audacity, which I have to give it to Biden. If nothing else, he has remarkable chutzpah with playing language games and substituting partisan meaning for common terms, like Paige was saying with the term democracy. The system of government that they actually represent is oligarchy, where the rulers are completely unaccountable, and democracy is just sort of a term that they use to legitimize that form of rule. And this is another example where the Biden administration, despite this, you know, horrific scapegoating campaign against millions and millions of people who had completely credible and plausible and modest demands to not be forced to take a so-called safe and effective vaccine, he's going to turn around and act like he's a champion for, you know, the common man against Big Pharma. So Biden's in this kind of awkward position where the administration has been involved in this really ruthless collaboration with the pharmaceutical companies now for the last like year or two. And now he's just kind of resorting to this sort of typical Democratic Party rhetoric from yesteryear, that they're standing up for the working class and stuff. And it's just a complete dissonance between the things he's saying and between reality.
Paige, one of the things that never gets talked about is what the lockdowns and all the insane COVID things did to the drug problem in this country. There's no question we have a drug problem. We're a wealthy nation that borders a narco state. That's inevitably going to produce a drug problem. And we have one, and all the COVID stuff made it worse.
That's right. And one element of this that is totally not understood by the public and that leaders are unwilling to touch, and I cover this on the most recent episode of my podcast, This Is Your Country. I'm speaking with my former colleague, Casey Mulligan, who was the chief economist in the White House when we were serving side by side under President Trump. And he did a study which found that the $600 unemployment insurance bonus that Americans were entitled to during the lockdowns was tightly correlated with enormous spikes in addictions and deaths, overdose and death, relating to people having $600 more twice a month to fund their addictions. And the most shocking thing there was that when this well-respected economist came out with this study showing that this was connected to the policy, that it was hurting people, it was profoundly disruptive to people's lives, his colleagues in academia were furious with him, saying, how dare you impugn this? People need this money. How dare you imply that this could lead to some really bad outcomes? And they still will not study it. They still will not touch it. So if you don't have people who are honest, who are willing to look at these issues and study them in a sophisticated way, if Casey hadn't been there doing this study, you know that the entire block of academic economists who line up for the Biden agenda would never have studied this, and you would never have this data showing that the government actually subsidized addiction and death during the pandemic.
Paige, Matt, appreciate you guys.
Thanks for having us, Jesse.
Thanks.
All right. Are the lights going to go out? Well, depends on where in the country you live. The answer for some of you is yes, the climate change death cultists are still at it. We'll get to that in a second. Before we get to that, let's talk about health insurance. I know, not exactly the most fun topic in the world, but it's, look, right now, as we try to put our money where our morals are in various ways, right? Where do you eat? Where do you get these goods? Where do you get these services? We're finding, at least I'm finding things, as I try to be better, because we're all failing on some level, right? So as I try to be better, some industries I can't do anything about. Like where I buy my cell phone, the physical cell phone, I'm not talking about the service, but the physical cell phone, you're not really going to get a good company that makes cell phones. I've found it to be basically impossible. It's very, very difficult. Health insurance has been one of the ones that's been very hard. How do you get health insurance from a company that shares your values? One Share Health. That company is right there in front of you. One Share Health. One Share Health is a faith-based insurance company. Faith-based. Your values, their values. You're not sacrificing coverage. The prices are great. They have a $75 off enrollment fee deal right now for my viewers, too. Go to my.onesharehealth.com/Kelly. Promo code Jesse Kelly gets you $75 off your enrollment fee. My.onesharehealth.com/Kelly. Promo code Jesse Kelly. We'll be back. You know how blessed you are? How blessed we are as Americans? Just hang on a second, I'm not doing a happy-go-lucky segment, but just hear me out. I'm 41 years old. I realize it's not ancient. It's not young, that's for sure. Look at all this gray, but it's not ancient. I've never once walked up to a light switch, ever. Home, office, wherever, and flipped it on, and there was no power. Now, obviously, I've been in situations where the storms have knocked out the power for an hour or a day, something like that. But I mean, I've never once walked up to that light switch and flipped it on, and the juice just wasn't there. Now maybe you're sitting there saying to yourself, well, yeah, of course, what's the big deal? You understand that people around the globe don't live like that, right? And sometimes it's hit or miss whether those lights are coming on, baby. You might be out of power for 4 or 5 hours, 4 or 5 days. Sometimes the lights don't come on in other parts of the world. Boy, that'd be dark. Can you imagine what it'd be like, live without power? You don't have to imagine. It's already here. I've been warning you about the climate change death cult forever. California is officially, now I want you to keep this in mind, California sits on enough energy to power the entire United States of America several times over, by an order of magnitude. We actually don't have to pull energy of any kind from a single other state. We could just use California's energy, and they have so much they could power all 50 states. That's how much energy California has. They're sending out messages right now for people to turn down their thermostats and stop charging their cars because brownouts and blackouts are coming. In fact, they're begging people, please turn down your power. Brownouts and blackouts are coming. Why are they coming? Because that's what the climate change death cultists want. They want you to go to the light switch and flip it on and nothing to come out. Please understand that every time you hear words like green, going green, sustainable when it comes to energy, whenever you hear renewable, any of these things, these words sound really nice. What they're actually describing is you going to the light switch and it not working and poor people dying. Around the globe right now, as you're sitting here watching me, there's a family. They're dying because the lights have gone out. Here's your energy secretary saying she wants this for everybody.
So California made national headlines by becoming the first state to say by 2035, we're not going to have any gas-powered vehicles that are new that are being sold. You can still drive your old ones, but you can't sell new ones. You like this concept?
Yeah, I do. I think California really is leaning in. And of course, the federal government has a goal of, the president has announced, by 2030 that half of the vehicles in the U.S., the new ones sold, would be electric.
Do you think what California is doing could or should be a national model?
Could be.
Death call. Always, all sounds very nice, though. All right, we have more. We have, well, you're going to have to wait and listen to what voters actually care about when it comes to polling. Before we get to that, let's get to this. Let's get to you having some security for yourself. And I actually don't, I'm not talking about guns for once or a dog or a security system or things like that. I'm talking about financial security. How deep is this economic disaster going to be? I don't know. You've heard me describe 1,000 times that I see a coming Great Depression, part two. I do. I think it is going to be that deep and that dark, and I think it's going to be that long-lasting. Maybe I'm wrong. My goodness, I hope I'm wrong. I'll come sit right here and celebrate if I turn out to be wrong. If I'm right, though, Do you think having some gold coins in your possession might be advantageous to you? Oxford Gold Group will deliver those coins to your front door. There's nothing I can do to make sure the economy's not going to crash. There's nothing you can do. Nothing, right? Get on our knees and pray, and that's it. Oxford Gold Group can make sure you and your family don't starve to death if it happens. Hope you never use it. Hope you pass it down to your kids one day, which would actually be very cool. And they pass it down to their kids. Think about that. That's a cool legacy. Anyway, call 833-995-GOLD and tell Oxford Jesse told you to call, all right? 833-995-GOLD. They're super laid back. They will take good care of you, I promise. Oxford Gold Group, call today. We'll be back. Polls. Man alive, you hear about them all the time, right? Especially in this business. You do TV or radio, or you're a politician, or you're obsessed with it like you are. We all are, let's be honest. Because you're always looking at the polling data. How are we going to do? Tell me who's going to win. But all these freaking people lie. And it's not that every poll is a lie, but man, lots of them are. They're Democrat run, they're push polls designed to do certain things. So it's hard to make any sense of what you see. But one of the best out there, I've noticed this consistently, all the people I trust go to this guy. He's known as the people's pundit. His name is Rich Barris, director of the Big Data Poll. All right, Rich, let's focus on polling here for a second, because I like knowing things I don't know. How, yeah. If you're some Democrat polling firm or some Democrat pays for it, how can you manipulate a poll? People don't even understand how these things are done. How can someone even do that?
You know, I think, and I was listening to the intro. First of all, thanks for having me, Jesse. It's good to be here. But I think what is going on now is you really have two problems with polls. One is a methodology problem. Different people, different groups of people respond to different modes of collection, whether you're doing it by phone, online. And if you're doing it by phone, are you using IVR, calling landlines? Are you calling cells? Are you texting? They respond to these modes at different rates. And I think what we're really seeing now, which moves into part of an ethical problem, is that there's plenty of evidence that what they're doing is wrong, why it's wrong, why they create response biases and social biases. They just don't care. They just don't care. Okay. And I think because it favors their narrative.
Okay, expand on response biases. How do you do something like that?
Now, this is perfect, actually. We're just coming out of the summer now. We just, moving into the Labor Day weekend. It is well known in this industry that in the summer and before Labor Day, it's a reason why that's really the threshold or the mark, you know, that people move to likely voter models, even though we do them before. That's because people really aren't paying attention, especially more conservative and working class people. They're living their lives, Jesse. They're not sitting in front of the computer or the telephone, you know, just dying to tell a pollster during a 20 to 25 minute interview over the phone, you know, how they're going to vote and why. Everyone is different. I think that's part of it, is what makes us liberals and conservatives. We have differences in our behavior. And everybody knows that there are response biases, meaning they don't want to participate, that favor Democrats, because Democrats are more willing to take surveys in general. So now that we're moving past Labor Day, you're going to see these polls tighten. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. See, I'm learning. Okay. What do people care about? I know I'm in my own bubble, yeah. Rich. I come, I sit down, I do this every single day. I follow who I want to follow on social media. I know I've created a bubble for myself, and I have blinders on. What do people actually care about? I guarantee the list is different than my list.
Yeah, we all do, right? And part of a pollster's job, too, is to make sure that the bubble that you're living in is not influencing your work. So if you're a pollster at the New York Times, you live in a cubicle and you know nothing about the rest of the country, flyover country. Maybe even, if we're being honest, you resent them a little bit. So it's hard for you to discern what they care about. And the modern, you know, the narrative right now, the current narrative, is that abortion has really thrown all, you know, a wrench in Republicans, you know, plans here. And that's not really what we found. Abortion right now is tied for number three, right 9%, along with immigration and border security. Half of the country, Jesse, really tells us that their vote is based on economic issues. Cost of living and inflation, that's number one, a little over 30% in the last poll we just did, came out a couple of days ago. Number two was jobs in the economy, just about a little under 20%. So number three and four are kind of distant. You know, I mean, this is an economic election. It is.
Okay, it's when we say that's what voters care about. It's one thing for me to care about something. It's another thing for me to assign blame to this guy or think this guy has some sort of solution. Are they there yet, or am I way too inside baseball and they're just mad they're paying too much for chicken and gas?
No, I think when it comes to inflation, and it's interesting, over the last year when people really started to tell us about inflation, food and groceries, you know, we just got out of the summer and everyone was talking about gas prices, but food and groceries was number one long before gas prices started to rise. People were complaining about that. And it's been about a year since we started asking people, well, who do you trust more to handle it? Or just crossing, you know, your most important issue with your vote. And out of the top four issues, if I include abortion in there with immigration, out of the top four issues, Republicans have an advantage on three out of the four. So economy and inflation issues, they trust Republicans more, and they will vote. If that's their number one issue, they will vote Republican. Immigration, not even close, they trust Republicans. On abortion, Democrats have the edge. So out of the top three or four, they have assigned blame, and they're ready to render a judgment on that.
Rich, explain what they don't care about as far as somebody like me or some crazy communist activist, what they think. Like for me, I care about the administrative state. I think that's a big deal. I care about America's drug addiction problem. I'm very concerned about China and things like that. For them, they're probably worried if the dogs in the country are gay enough. But I know voters in general don't care about that stuff. What do we activists care about that the voters just don't?
Yeah, on the left, I mean, I would say that, you know, the LGBT issues, transgender participation in sports, from school to the Olympics, voters, that is not a priority for them. In fact, they can't stand it. A lot of the environmental issues, you know, they now associate that closely with just the climate change agenda. And that seems to be a big priority for the Democratic Party and their activists. But, you know, the voter themselves really don't care. Republicans, I think they care a lot more about election integrity than the overall voter does, even though, of course, they'll tell you they think it's important. It's not a priority for them to vote on this year. You know, and they're you know, numerous other, I would say, you know, you call it, you just said the administrative state. You know, for independents and overall the general population, voting population, they're not really there yet. Although I think from what we saw after in the polling, in the, you know, post raid on Mar-a-Lago period, I do think there is some concern there. Last time we asked, less than 20%, Jesse, said they had a great deal of confidence in the FBI to do the right thing and not be corrupt. So, you know, that's been bubbling underneath the surface, but certainly, you know, activists on the right care about that more than the rest of the population does. They could make it an issue. They just haven't.
All right. I guess it depends on who you talk to. We keep hearing about this thing called a generic ballot and what it shows, what it doesn't show for the midterms. Are Republicans going to sweep all the Democrats out of the House? Is it going to be disappointing? What do you see happening, Rich? I know it's probably still early, but what do you see happening as far as what we should expect for the midterms?
It was important to get that pre-Labor Day benchmark, which we did in that poll we just released a couple of days ago. It did show a narrowing on the generic ballot, but it wasn't mind-changing. Democrats have been really stuck in our polling at like 39 to 41%. Republicans have ranged from anywhere between 42 to about 47, as high as 48%. So it has very clearly showed that, you know, Republicans have a structural advantage here going into November. But it narrowed because some of the right-leaning vote, working class vote, moved over to undecided, I'm not sure, or maybe some of them fell out of the voter screen altogether, which is when we decide who is at this point most likely to vote. That could change, though. That really could. So overall, Democrats in our polling have not led on the generic ballot at all in a single poll this entire year. So while it tightened, it's hard for me to dismiss, you know, the fact that they've led, Republicans have led, for every survey we've done over the last 13 surveys. Look, a lot of this is getting overblown, too. A 2-3 point national vote win in the House vote, Jesse, for Republicans is a big deal. You know, we see some of these Republican plus five or more generic ballots over the last 6 months, and people were, you know, kind of losing focus or losing perspective that if Republicans carry the popular vote by 3 points to 5 points, it's a blowout. They picked up 15 seats in 2020 when they lost it by 3 points. So just to give people a little bit of perspective. And districting, I would say, you know, it was either a wash or slightly favored Republicans by a seat or two. So that's the environment we're in.
He is the people's pundit on social media. Highly recommend you go follow him, get yourself smarter. Rich, I appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate that. All the best, Jesse.
Be good. I'm smarter. I'm going to take all that information Rich just gave me, and I'm going to regurgitate it as if it was my information to make myself look good. That's what the pros do. We have Lighten the Mood coming up next. Before we get to Lighten the Mood, let's get to the biggest financial vulnerability you have. It's your home. You think of your home like an asset, and obviously it can be, but because of this crappy cybercrime that's out there, it's a huge liability. It's like taking your life savings and leaving it on the front lawn if you don't have home title lock. Home title theft is sweeping the country. It's not slowing down, it's picking up steam. They will hack into your home title, take a loan or loans out against it, and you will have to pay them back. They'll take off with the money and the banks are still coming to you. Or pay $50,000 to a lawyer to get it unwound. You have 50 grand? Go to HomeTitleLock.com and sign up today. Home Title Lock will determine, well, they'll detect anybody tampering with it and they'll shut it down immediately. HomeTitleLock.com. We'll be back. Why is hurting people funny? Now, I don't mean seriously injured, right? I don't want to see anyone breaking bones and things like that. But does it speak poorly of me that when I see somebody fall down on the ice or something, and I see that they're not injured severely, or in old people, it's not that funny. But if I see somebody fall down on the ice, if I'm out with my buddies and one of them, whoops, nips, falls off a curb, that's funny. I can't help it. I don't know why it's funny. I find it humorous. I know you find it humorous too. Quit lying. We have a great video for that here in just a second. Before we get to that, let's get to something I really should bring up more often. Well, I talk about putting your money where your morals is all the time. So I'm trying to be better, trying to get you better. We're all in this together, right? There's a great tool for that though, because it can get so hard. How do I pick through every individual industry? Let me look and see, do they have an ESG page? It's very confusing. Public SQ is your one-stop shop though. Public SQ, it's right there in your app store. Doesn't matter what you have, Android, Apple, doesn't matter. It's in your app store. You download Public SQ. Then next time you leave your home to go purchase good services, make a phone call to go do any of those things, you pull up Public SQ and they'll tell you the businesses in your area that share your values. How about that, about being more purposeful with where we spend and don't spend our money? People have emailed me 1,000 times, Jesse, someone needs to start a website. Where should we shop? Someone did? It's in the palm of your hands. Public SQ is right there, all right? All right, now, let's all laugh at somebody falling down and hurting themselves. That was amazing. He almost made it too, that close. I'll see you tomorrow.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB. In the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.